Amy Eskridge said they kill people for this. Then her death was called suicide. Amy Eskridge left behind a public anti-gravity record, a suppression thesis, and warnings about threats before her death was labeled suicide. Amy Eskridge did not leave behind a vague fear. She left behind a claim structure. Anti-gravity existed. Huntsville mattered. The work was being suppressed. Disclosure had to be coordinated. People were threatening her. Her devices and home were compromised, and publication was the only way out. Then she died, and the public was asked to accept suicide as the ending. That is not closure. That is the beginning of the indictment. Amy Eskridge's 2018 HAL 5 title slide identified her as President of the Institute for Exotic Science and CEO of Holocron LLC. The timeline, December 6, 2018. Amy goes public in Huntsville. She gives a HAL 5 talk titled, A Historical Perspective on Anti-Gravity Technology, with the title slide identifying the Institute for Exotic Science and Holocron LLC. December 2018, Shale 5 publishes the public profile. Shale 5 describes Amy as president and co-founder of an Alabama public benefit corporation specializing in propulsion, quantum gravity, material science, and related cutting-edge fields. 2018 deck. The suppression thesis is already there. Her presentation asks why promising anti-gravity results disappear into classified channels, which matters because the later claims were not detached from her public work. 1996-2002 context, NASA studies breakthrough propulsion. NASA's breakthrough propulsion physics program looked at propellantless propulsion, maximum transit speeds, breakthrough energy, gravity electromagnetism coupling, vacuum energy, warp drives, wormholes, and related physics. 2010 context, DIA uses the word nobody was supposed to take seriously, a Defense Intelligence Reference document titled Anti-Gravity for Aerospace Applications discusses general relativity, negative energy, vacuum energy, dark energy, and quantum vacuum effects. 2020 transcript, Amy says visibility is protection. She says she created the Institute as a public-facing platform to disclose anti-gravity technology because private disclosure lets a person be buried without the story making news. 2020 transcript. She describes factions and death warnings. Amy says anti-gravity had been independently discovered and suppressed multiple times, with some factions urging her to publish and others warning she would be killed if she continued. 2020 transcript. The threats become sexualized. She says people warned that because she was a young woman, she would be raped before being killed, and that break-ins were staged to make her notice access to her private space. 2020 transcript break-ins become messages. She describes a cut micro USB charger left plugged into the wall, a bedroom window closed while residents were gone, headphones unplugged after she left, and underwear pulled out as intimidation. 2020 transcript escalation becomes the point Amy says the harassment had gone on for 4 or 5 years, escalated over 12 months, and became more sexual and invasive in the final 3 to 6 months. May 2022 reporting the reported pre-death warning. Daily Mail later reported that Frank Milburn said Amy sent messages saying that if any report claims she killed herself, overdosed, or killed anyone else, she most definitely did not. June 11th, 2022, Amy Catherine Eskridge dies. Her obituary identifies her as a 34-year-old Huntsville scientist and entrepreneur connected to the Institute for Exotic Science. Afterward, the public explanation becomes suicide. That is the pressure point, threats, escalation, alleged warnings, death, and then a clean label placed over a dirty sequence. She said she was being threatened. She said the threats were escalating. She reportedly said she would not kill herself. Then the ending became suicide. Human institutions do love asking for trust right after handing you a contradiction the size of a missile defense facility. The claims on the record. Before the story can be reduced to suicide, the record has to be forced back into chronological order. Amy's claims were not one claim. They were a system. She claimed anti-gravity existed. She claimed Huntsville mattered. She claimed the technology had been suppressed before. She claimed disclosure had to be coordinated so the information could not be buried. She claimed people tied to agencies were both protecting and threatening her. She claimed her home, devices, relationships, cybersecurity, and physical safety had been compromised. She claimed the threats were escalating. She claimed publication was the only way out. That is the frame, not Amy was troubled. Not Amy said strange things. Amy said she was in possession of dangerous knowledge, that powerful interests wanted control over it, and that the public explanation after her death should not be trusted if it came back as suicide. The disclosure plan Amy and the people around her claimed they were preparing for a future disclosure event. They said they needed to decide who could be trusted, how the information should be transferred, and how to release it in a way that could not be quietly buried. One proposed method was to send information to libraries on a coordinated day. Another was to publish a paper on an online archive. They feared peer review was unsafe because reviewers could laugh publicly while quietly circulating the work privately. Charming system. Very normal. Definitely not built to feed the bright weirdos into a shredder. They claimed the release needed a media strategy. YouTube channels, media vendors, email addresses, phone numbers, and public relationships prepared before disclosure. They discussed Tucker Carlson as a figure who could announce the drop. Imagined a timed release involving a Netflix documentary and an online paper, and wanted Stephen Greer involved because the documentary would establish credibility before the paper appeared. The fear was not that the information was weak. The fear was that the information could be buried. Huntsville was not scenery. They claimed disclosure had to come out of Huntsville, Alabama, and Redstone Arsenal because Huntsville was not a random backdrop. It was described as the Silicon Valley of government national security technology, intelligence community technology, aerospace, missile defense, radar, THAAD, CRAM, nuclear defense systems, and propulsion history. The public record does not make that geography easy to dismiss. Redstone's official public footprint includes NASA Marshall Space Flight Center, the Missile Defense Agency, DIA's Missile and Space Intelligence Center, Army Aviation and Missile Command, Army Space and Missile Defense Command, FBI Explosive Device Facilities, ATF Explosive Training Facilities, and other federal entities. That is not a backdrop. That is a stack of acronyms with concrete, fences, budgets, and people who say program office without blinking. NASA says Marshall has provided mission-critical design, development, and integration for launch and space systems since 1960, and that Marshall's legacy includes the Saturn rockets that powered Americans to the moon. The Army's own article on the MDA Von Braun III facility describes an 840,000-square-foot building with classified work areas, full video teleconferencing capabilities, space for about 2,600 employees, and a statement from the MDA director calling it the hub of missile defense for our nation. The geography Amy pointed to is a real federal aerospace and missile defense cluster, subtle as a battleship parked in your driveway. So when Amy says Huntsville mattered, the record does not laugh. It points to the map, the anti-gravity paper trail. They claimed anti-gravity technology exists. They claimed Amy's group had a mathematical equation describing it. They said anti-gravity was an imperfect label and that the real phenomenon was less exotic than people assumed, even less sophisticated than GPS. They claimed there are eight forces of nature. The fifth was described as possibly the Higgs force. The sixth was claimed to be anti-gravity. The seventh was described as energy to matter to energy conversion, possibly connected to portals, quasi-crystals, Dirac holes, negative energy, squeezed light, beam splitters, vacuum momentum, and possibly interdimensional electrons were discussed as part of the conceptual field. That is the wild shelf. Fine. Put a pin in it. The less wild shelf is that federal technical literature used adjacent language before this story became algorithm food. The word they laughed at was sitting on a DIA document, annoying for everyone who prefers easy ridicule. A Defense Intelligence Agency reference document from 2010 is titled Anti-Gravity for Aerospace Applications. It discusses anti-gravity concepts in aerospace terms, including general relativity, negative energy, vacuum energy, dark energy, and quantum vacuum effects. The DIA document does not prove Amy's full claim. It proves something almost as useful. The word anti-gravity was not only being used by fringe researchers, it was being used inside defense intelligence technical literature. NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Program also sought propulsion requiring no propellant, maximum physically possible transit speeds, and breakthrough spacecraft energy methods. NASA workshop material included gravity electromagnetism coupling, vacuum fluctuation energy, warp drives, wormholes, and superluminal quantum effects. So the category Amy was working around was not invented in a comment section by a man named TruthDragon1776. NASA had already put it in technical language. The suppression model. They claimed a secret space program was real and best understood as the military-industrial complex. Lockheed, Boeing, Northrop, and related structures. They claimed anti-gravity had been discovered multiple times, suppressed every time, and that this time some factions wanted Amy to publish, while others threatened her for continuing. They claimed canceled public prototypes were moved into secret programs. They claimed NASA and Huntsville scientists built world-first prototypes that worked, only to see them canceled, buried, or melted down for scrap. They claimed the ideas were later applied and optimized secretly, while brilliant scientists were psychologically broken by watching successful work withheld from the world. That is the suppression model. Public failure, private capture. A very normal arrangement if your definition of normal was assembled in a basement by defense contractors, named people, strange networks, and the swamp with grant money. The claim inventory names a lot of people. Bill Dent, Ken Wheeler, Tesla, Eugene Podkletnov, Dan Cooper, Michael Schrat, Hal Puthoff, Lou Elizondo, John Brandenburg, Travis Taylor, Tim Pickens, Martin Tajmar, Jim Woodward, Richard Dolan, Stephen Greer, Jeremy Corbell, Bob Bigelow, Ron Keita, Bob Lazar's United Nuclear, Tom DeLonge, Steve Justice, TTSA. The article does not need every named claim to be independently proven to identify the pattern. Amy's world, as described in the transcript and surrounding claim inventory, was full of technical people, aerospace figures, UFO researchers, disclosure personalities, investors, alleged handlers, alleged spooks, and media intermediaries. That is not a clean academic environment. That is a swamp with grant money. Amy's background mattered. They claimed Amy's background made her unusually positioned. She was born in Huntsville Hospital, described herself as born into the propulsion world, and said her father was technical lead of the PRL, Advanced Propulsion Research Lab at NASA Marshall. She claimed she had a double degree in biology and chemistry, nearly completed a PhD in biotechnology or bioscience engineering, spent around a decade in biotech, worked at AMRDEC, CHAO, the Weapons Sciences Directorate at age 15, and had many defense and engineering job offers. The HAL 5 page independently supports the basic public version of her identity. Chemistry degree from UAH, materials science PhD enrollment, interdisciplinary technical work, co-founder and president of the Institute for Exotic Science, and CEO president of Holocron Engineering. Her obituary and legacy mirror preserve the public ending. Amy Catherine Eskridge, Huntsville, September 19, 1987 to June 11, 2022, age 34. The public ending has to be read against the warning structure Amy left behind. The harassment claims, they claimed Amy was being harassed, watched, and threatened. She said she had protective and threatening interactions with people tied to agencies. Some allegedly told her to publish and that she was the one. Others allegedly warned she would be killed. She said threats involved rape and murder. She said people broke into her apartment, dug through her underwear drawer, checked her mail, watched her with a silver Lexus, changed license plates, followed her, and staged events so she would know they had access. The break-in claims were specific. A micro USB charger was cut in half and left plugged into the wall. A bedroom window was closed while both residents were gone. Bluetooth headphones were unplugged immediately after they left. Her underwear drawer was disturbed and items were placed on the floor so she would notice. The claim was not random theft. The claim was intimidation. They claimed the harassment lasted 4 or 5 years, became more aggressive in the final 12 months, and became more sexual and invasive in the last 3 to 6 months. Amy said she needed to publish because there was no way out, otherwise. That line is the center of the case. Not because it proves every physics claim by itself. Because it shows she saw publication as survival. Surveillance, hacking, and leverage. They claimed her devices and communications were compromised. The speakers said surveillance was mostly about personal intelligence and intimidation. They claimed They already had the data, communications, calendars, emails, photos, nicknames, personal meetings, and friends' accounts. Amy claimed she had malware on her devices, logs, and packet captures of Bluetooth attacks within 100 feet, and evidence of attacks at co-working spaces, offices, bars, and a university. They claimed her cybersecurity circle was compromised. The names and allegations get messy fast. NSA Black Hat claims, Hack Miami claims, Sub-7 references, alleged drone activity, inside spook accusations, phone hacking, by handshake claims. The surveillance claim matters because it supplies the pressure mechanism. If they already had the science, the point was not just theft, it was leverage. Control the scientist. Control the release. Control the story after the scientist dies. Relationship and funding lure claims, Amy said she believed some former boyfriends were handlers. She described Freemason-linked relationships, a 6-month handler protocol, emotional attachment risk, replacement handlers placed early, and handlers going silent when topics touched what they could not discuss. She also described handlers as offering money as a way to start conversations about technology with no intention of actually funding the work. Dan Cooper allegedly advised her to date the handler. This claim matters because it connects personal life to operational pressure. Not romance is romance, romance is access. They also claimed a financial lure existed through Mana World Holdings Trust, an alleged anti-cabal structure outside normal banking jurisdiction. Supposedly possessing Crusades-era gold, offering $100 million, and talking about a future dark financial flip, the speaker claimed it was actually a Russian criminal gang, collecting white papers and intelligence from scientists, then referring valuable targets to operational groups that physically stalked them. Another capture channel, not direct seizure, not open publication, a funding offer, a trust, a promise, then extraction. What happened, Amy Eskridge, was not just talking about UFOs. She was talking about anti-gravity technology. She believed the technology existed. She believed it had been discovered before. She believed it had been suppressed before. She believed her father's work, Huntsville's Aerospace Network, and the hidden history of gravity research were sitting on something world-changing. Her 2018 public presentation was not vague. It named anti-gravity, gravity modification, classified disappearance, private sector research, black budgets, and the need for testable theories. That matters because the later transcript does not sound like a woman inventing a subject overnight. It sounds like someone who had already gone public, already mapped the field, already concluded that the real danger was not ridicule. The real danger was possession. Who owns the discovery? Who controls the release? Who gets buried before the public sees the paper? Amy said the Institute existed because she needed a public shield. She did not describe fame as vanity. She described visibility as survival. That is the first crack in the suicide narrative. A person trying to vanish does not build a disclosure plan. Amy was trying to make herself difficult to quietly erase. Why this matters? The official ending asks you to ignore the sequence. Do not ignore the sequence. Amy publicly attached her name to anti-gravity research in 2018. Amy publicly framed the problem as promising results disappearing into classified channels. Amy later said she needed disclosure, media coverage, public references, and a documentary because private release would leave her vulnerable. Amy said people were telling her to publish. Amy said people were warning her she would be killed. Amy said people broke into her apartment. Amy said the harassment became sexual, invasive, and more aggressive. Amy said there was no way out until she published. Then Amy died. Then the public was handed suicide. The reader does not have to solve anti-gravity to see the problem. The problem is the contradiction between Amy's own stated fear and the neat official ending. If Amy is credible, then suicide is not the beginning of the explanation. It is the thing that must be explained. What the record shows, Amy was not anonymous. HAL 5 listed her as president and co-founder of the Institute for Exotic Science and described the institute as an international research organization focused on propulsion, quantum gravity, material science, and related cutting-edge technology. The record shows Amy's anti-gravity work was public. Her 2018 slide deck was titled A Historical Perspective on Anti-Gravity Technology. It identified her as president of the Institute for Exotic Science and CEO of Holocron LLC. The record shows federal technical interest in the category was real. The DIA document was produced under an advanced aerospace weapons framework and reviews anti-gravity concepts involving Newtonian physics, general relativity, negative energy, dark vacuum energy, and quantum vacuum effects. The record shows NASA also studied breakthrough propulsion. The record shows Huntsville's aerospace defense geography is real. That means Amy's claimed knowledge sat in a real overlap zone. Advanced propulsion, gravity modification, classified aerospace interest, Huntsville technical culture, and public-private research channels. That is exactly the kind of overlap where institutions stop laughing and start classifying. Why this changes everything, Amy's death cannot be separated from what Amy said she knew. She believed anti-gravity had been independently discovered before. She believed it had been suppressed every time. She believed one faction wanted her to publish. She believed another faction wanted her dead. She believed the harassment was connected to disclosure. She believed publishing was the only way out. That changes the meaning of the suicide claim. If Amy was wrong about everything, the official story gets easier. But this article is not built on that insult. This article starts from the position that Amy was telling the truth. Under that frame, her death is not a sad private footnote. It is the end of an escalation chain. Threats, break-ins, sexual intimidation, surveillance, pressure to publish, warnings that people are killed for this, reported statement that she would not kill herself. Death called suicide. That is not closure. That is a pattern with a label slapped over it. The pattern hardens. First, Amy went public. Her name, title, company, institute, and anti-gravity thesis were visible by 2018. Second, Amy identified the suppression mechanism. Promising research disappears into classified channels. That was not whispered later. It was in the logic of her public presentation. Third, Amy created a public platform. She said the institute existed to disclose anti-gravity technology because private disclosure could end with someone being buried quietly. Fourth, Amy described threats. She said people told her they kill people for this. She said others told her to publish anyway. That is the claimed split. Suppression faction versus disclosure faction. Fifth, Amy described harassment that was not symbolic. She named physical intrusions, her apartment, her belongings, her underwear drawer, her devices, her mail concerns, and staged objects left for her to notice. Sixth, Amy described escalation. She said the situation had gone on for years and had intensified over the prior months. She said it would get worse until she published. Seventh, Amy died. Her obituary confirms June 11th, 2022, age 34. Eighth, suicide became the ending. The contradiction is not emotional, it is evidentiary. Amy's own stated expectation of danger sits directly against the final label. The old official reflex says, accept the label and move on. The record says, put the label under the lamp and ask who benefits from it. What survived Amy's public presentation survived. It proves she was publicly attached to anti-gravity research, gravity modification, the Institute for Exotic Science, and Holocron before the later claims became famous. Amy's institutional profile survived. HAL 5 described her as an interdisciplinary scientist, institute co-founder, Holocron executive, UAH-trained chemist, and materials science PhD student. Amy's warning transcript survived. She said she was threatened, surveilled, broken into, sexually intimidated, and pushed toward disclosure because publishing was the only way out. The official technical category survived too. DIA had an anti-gravity for aerospace applications document. NASA had a breakthrough propulsion physics program. Whatever else anyone wants to mock, the government was interested in the same broad category of physics Amy believed was being hidden. Amy's death notice survived. It confirms the date, age, and public identity, June 11th, 2022, age 34, Huntsville, Alabama. And Amy's final contradiction survived. She reportedly said she was not suicidal. Then suicide became the explanation. If Amy was credible, that explanation is not the end of the story. It is the document you pin to the wall and circle in red. The official story says death by suicide. Amy's record says knowledge, suppression, threats, escalation, and a planned disclosure they feared could be buried. That is the indictment, not because every exotic claim has already been proven in court, because the woman at the center told people the shape of the danger before the final label arrived, and the label fit the very thing she warned them not to believe. Sources HAL 5, December 2018 event page Amy Eskridge. HAL 5 presentation, PDF DIA. Anti-gravity for aerospace applications. Black Vault Mirror of DIA document NASA Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Program. NASA BPP Workshop Preliminary Results. U.S. Army. Von Braun III Facility. Legacy Obituary Mirror. AL.com Obituary. Daily Mail Reporting on Alleged Texts. The claim inventory in this article is drawn from the uploaded Amy Eskridge transcript notes covering disclosure planning, Huntsville, Redstone claims, anti-gravity claims, suppression claims, named person claims, harassment claims, surveillance claims, hacking claims, handler claims, financial lure claims, and final action claims.